Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!" The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sights I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow low, my knees and cry, as I entered the gates of that city. Talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
and cried, oh.
Praise the Lord. Good evening and welcome to the Sound Doctrine broadcast. You're live with Dr. Ventura. I'd like to welcome our guests around the country, around the world, around the nation. Those who are listening, want to thank you for going back, as much of you going back and looked at the previous shows archive. And remember, if you have a question, feel free to call in. The number is 347-945-5416. And Nathan on the spot has given us this opportunity as a guest here. And Nathan's in the background. Brother John Hill behind the scenes managing our switchboard. And we're grateful that God has given us another week and that we can come forth and bring forth sound doctrine. And we just want to thank the Lord. We want to thank the listeners. I usually don't ask prayer up front, but tonight I have a special prayer for two children up in Massachusetts who were burned severely with scalding hot water. And if you'd keep them in your prayers and ask the Lord to watch over them and their family, we'd be grateful for that. We certainly would. And there's a reason why I don't normally ask for that kind of prayer in the beginning of the show, the program. I don't want to call it a show because we're not showing anything. We're setting forth the Word of God, and it's a program. But the reason why I usually don't, because if you're spiritual, you would know that sometimes that can be distracting, even in a prayer service. If you ask somebody to open a prayer, then they start praying, and then what they do is they start, instead of praying for the service that, you know, the people would receive from the Lord, the message, what it does is they start praying about their personal things, and those personal things can interfere with the spiritual growth of a person because they'll be concentrating on those things instead of the Word of God throughout the teaching. And so that's good for you younger Christians that don't know any better. You really shouldn't pray in the beginning of a service to ask somebody to pray for your personal needs. You know, save that to the end. But let us have a prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, your precious Son, we ask you, Father God, tonight that you would touch hearts and change minds and open spiritual eyes and ears. Give revelation, give wisdom, give knowledge of you, Lord. For amen, for you are the great amen. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lord and Kings of King, and we just he's the King of Kings, and we just praise him, Father God, and we praise you, and we thank you for this broadcast, Lord. We ask you to set me aside, Father God, and let nothing be done here that's disorderly or from my flesh, Father God. Let it all come from you. And let the people know, Father, this thy people, when we leave this program this evening, that they can say, the Lord was there, we met with the Lord. Amen. Praise Jesus. Tonight's program is, we're going to kind of talk about the New World Order. I had a special guest coming on. We haven't heard from him yet, so I don't know where he is. He hasn't called in at this moment, and we'll wait for him to call in and hope he does call in, and we'll have that discussion. He's not only a guest, a Christian brother, an old friend, but tonight I'd like to take us over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And if you have Romans chapter 13, it's a good idea to open up your Bible, and let's take a look at Romans chapter 13. And when I say Bible again, we're talking about the King James Bible. We're not talking about these other perversions. And if this is your first time tuning in and I'm offending you because you use an NIV or one of the other versions of the Bible, what I would recommend is you after the program, get the information, or during the break, call in and we'll have a discussion. I'd love to help you understand why I say that this is the inerrant, preserved Word of God in our King James Bible. Amen. But if you go over to chapter 13 with me in the Bible, and we'll start in verse number 1. Verse number 1 of chapter 13 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Amen. And, you know, praise the Lord. You know, what this chapter is, and now there's a whole barrage of unscriptural, unethical, improper teaching out there right now. Somebody recently sent me a YouTube teaching by some fella, and I don't even remember his name. I suppose if he taught something that was right, I would probably remember his name, but I don't remember his name. It's kind of like that thing there where you have Lazarus and the rich man in hell, and God never mentions a rich man's name because he's none of his. Amen? But so you have the subject of chapter 13 is the authority. It's Christians' relationship to governments and powers, subject of authority, subject to authority. And it's laid out by the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, of course, you know, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so there's some misconceptions about what this chapter means. What is this great upheaval now we have in our society and among Christians over this chapter? And there's a great, great many men that are teaching that this has nothing to do with government, and that it only applied to the Roman government if it applied to any government. And that's not true. That's not true. The Word of God is enduring forever. Amen? And it's truth. And the truth is subject to authority. That's what chapter 13 is about. Verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So the purpose of Christianity, my brethren, is to change hearts. Not government. We're to change hearts. If you go over and you look at Acts chapter 26, and we're going to look at a few verses and in between, and, you know, we should never just take one verse and say, hey, it means this. But there's a saying among theologians and among Bible students and among scholars, and the truth is, if you look in a 1828 Noah Webster dictionary, the word scholar really means student. But if you look with me, go over to Acts chapter 26 for a minute. Just back up one book. And remember, there's only 16 chapters in Romans. We're in chapter 13. So if you just back up a few chapters, there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts. But Acts chapter 26, verses 16 to 18. Verse 16 says, now this is the Lord speaking to the Apostle Paul. He says, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's Christ speaking. That's Christ speaking. And the purpose of Christianity is to minister, to witness, to change hearts, governments. We're not to change governments of the world. Our job is to minister. Minister and witness. That's the Christian's job. And you can vote. You can vote as a Christian. And, you know, I'm a Christian and I advocate voting. I believe the order of steps. You know, I've heard many Christians say, well, what's the purpose of voting? God's already preordained the destiny of the world. Well, God said in Isaiah that if my people turn from their sin, he'd heal their land. So people need to turn from their sin to heal their land, to pray to God. But God has instituted three institutions. And these are three institutions that are ordained by God. The first institution found in the Bible that is ordained by God is the home. That's the institution of marriage. The second is the institution of government. Genesis chapter 9. Well, when you read Genesis chapter 9, you find out that Noah, God formed human government, appointed Noah the head of that human government, and gave him the highest power and authority that a man can have in human government, and that was the taking of a human life. Okay? So we have three institutions ordained by God: the home, government, and the third institution is the church. And so we have the home, the government, the church. Three institutions. Now I hear people say, well, you know, they tell people in prison you're institutionalized. Listen, every America is institutionalized. Every American uses an institution. A bank is an institution. Amen? So if you do your banking, you're institutionalized. So cut it out. Stop picking on the prisoners. Now, four reasons why a Christian should obey the law. Number one, the Bible says in Romans verses 1 to 4, for wrath's sake. Let's look at those verses again. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee, to you for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now I want you to understand something. I know you have questions, and one of the questions you're going to say to me is, well, what about corrupt governments? Well, I would ask you at this point to bear with me, and we'll get to that point. But first we have to do this orderly, because everything the Lord does is in order. Confusion is of the devil. It's not of God. And we're not going to introduce confusion into your lives from this program or in mine. Amen? And so Romans 13, 1 through 4, talks about the powers that be ordained of God. God ordained government, not necessarily the men in government, but God ordained government, the institution of government. Not every man in government is doing God's work. Now, there's a consequence to the government, just as there is a consequence to each and every individual in their life. Every Christian has to answer to the Lord for what they do in their life. Every unsaved man will appear at the white throne judgment to answer for their sin. And so every Christian will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And everybody who is in this government, they are ministers of God, whether they admit it or they don't, because the powers that be are ordained of God, and God ordained government. Not necessarily, again, the men in government. If you look with me over to Jeremiah chapter 27, verse number 5. Jeremiah 27, verse number 5. The scripture says in Jeremiah 27, verse 5, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemeth meet unto me. Amen. So God ordained government, and government is an institution and a biblical institution. And remember, three institutions ordained by God that we find in the Bible. The first institution is the home, the second is human government, the third is the church. Okay? So let's look down a little further now. Let's move on to verse number 2 in Romans 13. Now, verse number 1 said, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse number 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So the Apostle Paul is telling the Christian that God ordained government so we could live a peaceful and orderly life. And the word damnation, as you see in the bottom of the verse, at the end of the verse, second verse, doesn't mean eternal life, but physical life. Physical life. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Damnation. You know, we're saved. But look at there's damnation can be talk about a physical as well as a spiritual damnation. But when you're looking at verse number 4, just skip down with me into this passage. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He beareth not the sword in vain, see? And so even in Romans chapter 14:23, you're going to find that word. It says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Well, damned how? Well, condemnation, physical condemnation in his consciousness. And so what we have here is in verse 2, God ordained government so we could live a peaceful and orderly life. Now, if you look at verse 3, it said, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the saint. Government is to be a terror upon the evil. Government is to be a terror upon the evildoers. Now, if you remember what Solomon said, and if you don't, we can look at that. Let's go over to Ecclesiastes one moment here. And in Ecclesiastes, let's take a look at what Solomon said. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. See? Amen? So, you know, even in our country, as great as our country is, we have a legal process, and amen for that. We have a legal process, and that legal process is supposed to give everybody a fair chance, and whether it does or it doesn't, not always, but it's the best process in the world. You know, in other countries, execution is carried out immediately, see? And so the government is a terror, because if they steal, they'll chop your hand off. If you steal twice, they'll chop your other hand off. Amen? So you know, but Solomon says because delay is not, you know, punishment is delayed. It's not executed. Men continually have their hearts to do evil. Now look at verse 4 again in our passage. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. For he beareth not the sword in vain. Well, who is he talking about? He's talking about government personnel. This person, this government, is carrying out or performing God's intention by holding back evil. The sword is the death penalty. Well, you don't spank somebody with a sword. Notice 13:4 says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Okay, so God has given, the highest order God gave was the taking of a human life. Amen? And so, you know, you look at, back up to chapter 12 in Romans here, in verse 19,
all right, says, Peter, I'm
beloved,
here.
We'll get right to that. I'm just laying out a foundation here. Verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so the Lord has set up that institution of government, which we've studied. Now, the New Testament proof text, you know, for capital punishment, well, first of all, there was capital punishment before the law in Genesis 9. In the dispensation of human government, that was the highest authority that God gave man, was the death penalty. And then in the law, there was execution. You find that in Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. And after the law, you're going to find it in Romans 13, verse 4. And if you'll just go with me over to Acts chapter 25, verse 11. Acts 25:11. And let's just take a look at this. Acts 25:11 says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, for if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. You know, Paul was willing to submit to the death penalty if he did anything worthy of death. Amen? And so Paul recognized the authority of the human government. Again, God didn't ordain men to the human government, per se. Not all men that is in human government is serving God's purpose. The purpose of government was to restrain evil. And then Paul gives us another reason in verses 5 to 7. He says, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. So for conscience sake, you're to live under fear of judgment by governmental law, but also by your conscience, for fear of legal punishment. And listen, you know the speed limit's 70, and if you go over it, you're going to get stopped if there's a police officer there. And so, you know, knowing that, hey, I could be punished for going over the speed limit should make you not go over the speed limit. Amen? Here's another reason. So truthfully, when you're looking at verse 5 and 7, to 7, it says, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath's sake, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Amen? And so, for conscience sake, you know, rulers are the ministers of God. So you pay your taxes, why? Because you support the ministers of God. You know, like spiritual ministers. Go with me over here to Mark chapter 12. Let's look at verse 17. And chapter 12, verse 17 in the book of Mark. Okay, let's look at what the Lord said. 12:17. Jesus said, and Jesus answered, said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now listen, Caesar's government was a very corrupt government. But he doesn't mean only to Caesar, only to the Roman Empire. He means to all of government. Render to the government the things that are the government's, and to God the things of God. And they marveled at that saying because they were shocked because of the Herodians. You know, the Herodians said that we need to obey the law because God's are, you know, because he's the rulers. And then the Jews were angry and they were saying, well, you know, we don't necessarily have to obey them because they're not our the only king. We have one king, and one king is Jesus Christ. And so there was this confusion among the Jews even. Okay, and the third reason why we do this is for love's sake. For love's sake. To live as much as possible, if not completely, debt-free. And that's hard to do in today's society. And so the purpose is to fulfill the law of giving, to give to every good work. The context is not in buying things, but in paying someone their dues, taxes, fear, honor. If you love one another, you'll do the things you should. But love one another. That's John 13:34. That's what the Lord said. And so there's this misconception, you know, that why this Romans 13 should not apply to the government. And because of those things. But five of the commandments, you know, are Godward in the Ten Commandments, and the last five are toward man. And the missing one is father and mother, you know. So when you read chapter 13 of Romans 8 to 10, all right, you love so you don't kill, you don't steal, and you don't covet. The phrase, thou shalt not bear false witness. Well, in an RSV, an NASV, and the NIV Bibles, they removed that word. They removed it. They don't want, you know, because they're bearing false witness with their false Bible. And then the fourth reason is for Christ's sake. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And that's the salvation, you know, of your body. Amen? So, you know, the summary is, you know, verses 11 to 12, wake up. Verse 13, clean up. Verse 14, grow up. Amen? And so back to one other place, if you'll go back with me to Jeremiah, just for a quick second, I'm going to get Brother Joe on. And as I said before, Brother Joe and I, we've been friends for many years. And let me see, where did I mark that place? We went to Jeremiah 27:5. And listen to what the Lord says. Jeremiah 27:5. The Lord said, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemeth meet unto me. And so God ordained we started the program talking about what institutions God ordained. And God ordained the institution of marriage, the home, marriage, government, and the church. And those are the three institutions ordained by God. And so this evening, Brother Joe and I, we're going to have a conversation, and we're going to have a discussion here. And I'm going to let Joe talk for a little bit, and I have a couple questions to ask him, and we'll see where what we do this evening and where the Lord would take us. And I want you to know that Brother Joe is an expert in his field. He studied the New World Order well, and I kid around, but it's the truth. A lot, I give him a hard time about things. One of the things is that the New World Order, you know, truly it's not a New World Order. It's an old world order. It was ordered by God from the foundations of the world. The course of this earth is set to go in a certain direction, in a certain path, and none of us could stop it any more than we could stop John the Baptist from showing up or Cyrus from releasing Israel after 7 years of captivity. And so we're ordered in that sense. Brother Joseph, how are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. Well, first, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. You know, we don't have Caesar in America. You know, we the people are the government. Okay, we're not under Caesar, and you know, so I don't understand your point in that.
Let me explain that to you. Okay, the first thing is, number one, that Caesar is representative of the government and the people, and so we have a representative government. We have a representative government.
He won't come now.
What's that, brother? Brother Nathan?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was live.
You are live.
I have
problems.
That's
okay. Huh?
Okay.
So,
okay.
Okay.
I'm back.
You're
now
running a switchboard. Okay, brother.
Yeah, I'm back.
I thought Joe lost his mind. No. I said, what happened? Okay, number one. So we're talking about give unto Caesar what Caesar, and you're saying, well, we don't have a dictator named Caesar. Well, you know, hey, listen, the Roman government had senators too, and it was a government established for the people and by the people in that sense, in that form. They had senators, and they had leaders, appointed leaders, and just like we do. We have appointed leaders. But the point is, in the totality of it is that God has ordained the institution of government. Whether it's democratic, whether it becomes communist, whether it becomes socialist, whether it becomes dictatorial or totalitarian dictatorship, or otherwise. God has ordained the institution of government. He did not ordain the types of, per se, people's operation of government or the people in government. The purpose of government was to restrain sin. You and I are a saved man, so we have a God conscience. And because we have a God conscience, we answer to God first and foremost before anything and anybody. But an unsaved man doesn't answer to God. And so therefore, we restrain our sin because when we sin, we confess our sin and we get ourselves right with God and we get back on the path. Well, an unsaved man doesn't have a path to get back on. He's on a single path and he's hell-bound. And so who's going to restrain his sin? The Holy Spirit helps us restrain our sin, but no, he's not going to restrain his sin, so God has ordained government to restrain that evil. Now, corrupt government won't do that, and so just like everybody who has a judgment, they'll be judged for that. They are the ministers of God once they step into the office of government, and if they're corrupt, they must answer to God for what they did with their ministry, just as a pastor has to answer for what he's doing with his ministry. So when we say give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, what Christ is saying is give unto the established government what belongs to them. You and I are Christians. We're not of this world, number one. We're just sojourners. We're just passing through this world.
It's okay to contribute to abortion And
we're not,
you know, you
said no, it's not
taxes,
okay.
So
no, it's not okay, but it's the government establishment is ordained by God. And so we must submit to that government, whether it's corrupt or it's not, in what it does with its money. I'm to do my part. My part is to pay my taxes, to pay my customs if I'm coming into the country with items or going out of the country. That's my job. Their responsibility is to apply the laws correctly. In a democratic society, we have a right to vote, okay? But I've always said you cannot legislate morals, and you know that. You have a lot of experience in your life, and you know that nobody can make a law and put it on a state statute and everybody's going to obey it. We can't legislate morals. But we do know that what we do do is...
Well, we don't have a
democratic
government. We have a republic.
Well, a republic.
We're not a democracy. We're a republic.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mean, it's not okay. So when do the people disobey the government? When do we say, as Christians, because we're Christians first, and so when do we say no? What, we just we get on our knees, put our hands over our head and say, go ahead, shoot me in the back of the head? I mean,
I would submit to you this much. I would submit to you in the line of Christianity, if somebody came to me and told me to renounce my religion and renounce Jesus Christ, you'd have to shoot me. Paul didn't advocate a revolution. Jesus didn't say go to overthrow Caesar because he's not doing the things that God would have him do. He's certainly collecting taxes. He's even took in the Jewish people who were tax collectors, like Matthew and what's his name that was up the tree there. And so, they were corrupting even the Jews. But Jesus Christ never advocated, hey, go get guns and let's overthrow the nation because we don't like Caesar. Give the Caesar
what Caesar's. Well, they didn't have guns back then, but if I remember correctly, Jesus walking into the temple and basically destroying the temple and, whipping the money changers.
Yes, that's
so,
true.
You know, he didn't walk
into
and say,
the
well.
Temple. He went into a religious establishment. He didn't walk into a government building. He walked into his religious establishment, which was the synagogue.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And he told them to get the, just like I would if I was in a church and they were dealing dope in the back of the church, I'd run them out if I had to physically pick them up and throw them out.
Okay. But the government said, but what if the government, like in most states, say, well, you know, drugs are legal now. So
that doesn't mean as a Christian, I know abortion's wrong. I know euthanasia, pulling a plug on somebody is wrong.
Well, hang on. Stick
to
what I'm saying. Okay, marijuana is legal. I come to your church with a bag of marijuana in my pocket. What are you going to do as a pastor? I mean, you can't go against the government. I mean, we're restrained.
No, we're in a church. Number one, we're in a church. Number two, we have our church lives by the Bible, okay, in that sense. We have rules that apply to us. We have bylaws, and the bylaws state what our statement of faith is. Just because you can have
it's
an abortion doesn't mean somebody...
It's hypocritical.
Can I,
we don't
can
live
I finish,
by
brother?
The Bible.
How about if I finish?
We don't live by the Bible.
So let me finish. You don't live by the
okay.
Bible, maybe. But let me finish what I'm saying. Just because abortion's legal doesn't mean I let somebody use my back room to have perform one.
No, but you're helping pay for it. You're just as guilty.
I'm not paying for it. If they're using my money to pay for it, they're responsible for it. I'm doing my duty to pay my taxes, which I'm instructed to do by the Lord, because the establishment of the government was set up by God. If the government's using my money for corrupt purposes, then the government must answer to God. In fact, the whole nation has to answer to God. I just read that to you from over there in Jeremiah. The nation will come under condemnation. Listen, the United States of America is under the judgment of God, whether they realize it or they don't. Don't you know that every time the United States of America goes over there and intermeddles with Israel and tries to divide the land of Israel, some major catastrophe happens in this country? Yet the politicians can't figure it out. But God said he would avenge that thing. You can't go over there and divide up Israel. You got people preaching out there that there isn't even any Jew in Israel is a Jew. They have no idea what they're talking about.
All right. We're going floating off to another subject. We're Christians, okay? We're Christians. We're supposed to do our best to live to mirror Jesus Christ, okay? Can we do that as Christians, okay? when we are participating in an antichrist system, a system that kills innocent unborn children, okay, promotes homosexuality, you know, how could we walk as Christians and live according to the Bible if we're participating in these abominations? And
well, let me ask you this question, brother. I understand your point. Let me ask you this question, because I've already answered your question, but let me put it to you this way, okay? All that stuff was going on when Caesar was in authority.
Well, we're not talking about what happened 2,000 years ago. We're talking about what's happening in 2014.
Yeah, well, the same thing was happening there. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah,
there's nothing new.
Jesus, well, that's right. And Jesus Christ and his apostles were not walking into homes or
of course the Roman soldiers were.
Where
the Roman soldiers
was happening. Like I just said, go back to my last point. Jesus destroyed the temple, the money changers, overturned tables, whipped the money changers. They didn't cooperate with them. They didn't say, we can't do anything right about this because we're restrained by the
government. You're talking about two different institutions, brother. You're talking about the institution of government. You're talking about the institution of government and a church institution.
Well, government is participating in the churches today. They're consistently, constantly getting intermingled with the church business. And let's get to the point. The point of it is that what I'm trying to make here, the point that I'm trying to make, is that it's hypocritical to walk around saying that this is of the Lord, we're Christians, we're a mirror of Christ, but yet behind the scenes, we're committing all these abominations and idolatry and sin, and it's just hypocritical. So what do you suggest? What does the Bible say what we should do to better the situation that we are in today?
Well, the Bible says that the people in the United States of America and around the world should pray, should bow down their knees and submit to the Lord and to pray to God, and God will heal their land. That's what the Bible says. Okay.
Is that how George Washington and Thomas Jefferson established the great land that we live in? They just kneeled down and prayed.
Well, they did. They did in their action, and were led of God otherwise.
Okay.
And then you can go back to some questions about who those guys actually are and who they were and who the Illuminati is and all that. I mean, if you really want to go down and start tearing stuff up, the Knights Templars and what comes over here from there, you know, you can go into that direction. But my point to you is this. When you're comparing apples with oranges, when you say Jesus goes into the temple and he cleans it out because they were corrupt in the temple, well, they were corrupt in the temple. That wasn't run by the Roman government. That was run by the Jews. There's nothing new under the sun. All the things that were going on in Rome are the same things that are going on in the United States. In fact, the fall of the Roman Empire is the same problem that the United States of America is falling into right now. Overtaxation of its people, overspreading of its armies, amusement and sin of every sort. You see? And all those things are what brought the Roman Empire down. And that's what's bringing the United States of America down. And the truth is, what started to bring the United States of America down was they abandoned the King James Bible and they adopted the Revised Version, the NIV, and the same thing happened in England. When England gave up that King James Version Bible, they went straight down the tubes. Now they're almost an all-Muslim nation.
Okay.
And when the United States abandoned that King James Bible, they abandoned the Word of God, they turned their back on God, and so they're reaping what they've sown. But I'm not of the world. My home is in heaven. I'm just passing through. And if I was down in Guatemala right now, I'd have to obey the Guatemalan laws or go to prison.
Okay. We're just passing. Okay. So we as Christians are supposed to accept everything that is going on today.
No, we're to pray, we're to obey the Lord, win souls.
But they're not
obeying
the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, you say yes, they are, because I listen. These are the ministers of God. That's what the Bible says. The government is established, the order of government is established by God. So if they're running the government and they're corrupt, then they have to answer to God for their corrupt ministry.
Okay, so we as Christians have the government's going to have to stand trial before God for everything that it's doing now and what it has done in the past. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, and we're not
people that
we're not, and we Christians who live in this land today, we're not responsible at all for what has part. We don't have to answer for what our government has done because God put the government there. Correct.
Well, we answer for how we dealt with it. I'm told to pray for the leaders of my country, and then God will act upon my prayers.
Okay, how we dealt with it. Okay, and that's the point that I'm trying to make. We as Christians, how we are dealing with the current situation today, the government that we have, the society that we have, we should seriously repent and be ashamed of ourselves.
Well, I agree, but I have no choice as an individual but to pay my taxes or go to prison.
That's not true.
That is true.
No.
Don't pay your income tax for the next 5 years and see what happens, unless you want to live outside of the laws of the government. If you can live outside the laws of the government, then you can do that. I mean, I hung around with people I knew, well, didn't hang around with them, but knew people who were in the posse, you know, to run around Montana with paper plates on their cars that they wrote because they have a right to drive. It's not a right. It's a privilege. And I mean, it's a right. And they felt that they didn't owe anybody anything and nobody could tell them what to do.
I'm not saying everyone will go out, walk out their front door tomorrow and don't pay for anything. No. You're taking what I'm saying and you're stretching it out to the extreme. The conversation here you and I have started is that we as Christians, okay, in America today are doing nothing. Well, maybe a little, but we're doing little or nothing to shine upon what's going on out there. We're not exposing the sin of our government. Let's put it that way. We're too busy walking around with suit and ties and a Bible in our hand trying to sell something and going out to dinner every night.
Well, I don't buy that, but I think that my job as a Christian, my first and foremost job as a Christian is to be a witness to Jesus Christ, to testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if I want to change the morals of my community, then I need to go out and bring people to Jesus Christ, because you can't change a person unless you change their heart, and their heart's not going to get changed until they receive Jesus Christ. So if I'm not doing my first duty, then I'm in trouble already. And that's my first duty.
Okay.
And that's not
now
a once-in-a-while thing.
Okay, we go out, and I agree with you there. Okay, we witness, and we win souls over to Christ. Okay? Now, but just like a newborn baby, that baby needs food and nourishment and has to be educated and schooled to grow up to grow up as strong Christians, to have the whole armor of God. But we are not doing that today as Christians. We will be deceived into taking the mark of the beast because we are
Christians
bamboozled.
The Christians won't be deceived into taking the mark of the beast, so we won't be here when the mark of the beast comes.
What do you mean? How do you figure that?
Well, because we're not appointed to go through the tribulation. And that's a false doctrine that's being taught, that we're going to go through the tribulation. And so we're not. But that isn't an excuse not to do the work of the Lord. Just to, you know, people don't just, you're not supposed to just get saved and say, okay, I'm saved. Now I don't have to worry about anything and forget everybody else.
Basically, that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we not only have to win souls to Christ, we also have to maintain those souls. You see, Christians are supposed to produce fruit. An apple tree produces apples and a cherry tree produces cherries. And a Christian produces Christians.
Okay.
That's what we're supposed to produce. And if we're not producing those things, then we're not producing fruit.
No, we're not. We're not producing fruit. We're producing rotten fruit, you know, today.
And Christianity as a whole is in trouble for the most part, because we have become so downtrodden by the government, And so people are so worried about making their bills and making their payments and making their mortgages.
Well, we have
kids.
We have to cooperate with the government. We have to.
Well,
we have
this is the society we're in. You, no matter where you are, you're always going to end up paying taxes. But the problem is that we become so endowed with what's going on around us. It's all about me.
Well, we have to pay our bills on time.
Listen, we do have to pay our bills on time. But you know why we go to work? We don't go to work just to pay our bills. We make a living to have a giving. You're to love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay.
The Christian labor law says you don't work, you don't eat. That's in Ephesians.
Okay.
All right? So the point I'm trying to make is that we as a society, as a whole, have become so sissified. I mean, children are having play dates. If my son was around, my son's grown up now, but if he ever came home and told me I'm going to have a play date, I'd ask him, what are you, crazy? We don't have any queers in our home. What do you mean a play date?
Well,
you're going to have a date
that.
With
that's
another man to play?
You can't do that. That's discrimination. And you
listen,
can't
everybody's
your child
a,
either.
Excuse me, brother. Everybody's a discriminator. Everybody's
well,
a discriminator.
Well, you're being hypocritical. You're saying
well,
one thing
hypocritical.
And then you're preaching another.
No. No, I'm not being hypocritical.
So
not at
you
all.
Are.
No, I'm
you
not.
Just
and by the way,
in
and
your
by
own...
the way, and by the way, everybody's a hypocrite. Okay.
Well, I mean,
but,
okay.
But if you're
I know,
saying that because you've taken the words, see, the connotated meaning of human words have been sissified and changed, and the world's made everything so nice. It's not a prison. He's not a dope addict. He's a chemically dependent individual. He's not a parolee. He's a client. And so now the world's made everything so beautiful and so smelly, and it smells as roses that they're not even going to know they walk into hell until it burns their nose.
Well, but that doesn't affect us. We're just passing through. Right.
We are passing we have the knowledge, and because we have that knowledge, we should have the responsibility of other Christians. And when I talk about discriminating, and you say, well, that's discrimination, brother, you're a discriminator every day. When you walk into the store and you buy Cheerios and you don't buy Rice Krispies, you're discriminating against Rice Krispies.
Okay.
So
well,
we all
Rice
discriminate.
Have a soul.
But the problem
well,
is
well,
that
I'm
they've taken the word discrimination and they twisted it. It's like
but
the word ignorant.
The,
if you tell somebody
not,
you're ignorant.
You're misinterpreting what I'm trying to say. The point that I'm trying to make is that you stated in your opening, and this is what pastors are teaching today, and this is what our churches are doing. We Romans 13, we have to cooperate with the government. But then you're preaching against it, okay, at the same time.
So I'm not preaching against it. I'm saying that I have to give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God. And if my government requires me to pay taxes, I pay my taxes, but I give to God what's his. God is far and foremost.
Sounds like,
if my government came to my house today and said I couldn't practice my religion, then we have a problem.
Okay, yeah, because it affects the wallet then. That's why pastors
no,
have a problem.
No, not because
it
affects
the wallet.
Because I have a right as a human being to worship the Lord who I choose to worship. Even in the Constitution, even in America, listen, you can believe whatever you want in this country and worship whatever you want, but you can't force another person to worship what you want them to.
No, well, they will be one day. But actually, Peter, what you're saying is like I stated, hypocritical because of the fact of, okay, you can't force me to worship. Okay, yes, I know, because that'll affect the wallets of a lot of churches, you know, if they're unable to open those doors. I think that's rude and disrespectful
to God, because I'm commanded to love the Lord thy God with all my heart and all my soul and all my life, and my Lord comes before my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're talking about some of these, if you're talking about some of these corrupt churches and some of these churches where you know they're out selling miracle water, 15 miracles in a bottle for $20, well then you know, okay. Well, if you read your Bible and the person was a Christian, they know that was a fraud from the beginning. So it'll hurt their wallet.
What I'm trying to do here, and that's what this platform is for, is to expose and convict an individual or Christians of their sin. Okay, as you stated earlier, I studied the topic, and I know what's going on. Okay, and you say, and you get very, very, you got very tense there when I stated when we brought the subject about being told who you can worship, and the point that I was trying to make is because it's all about the money. okay? But you're telling me pay my taxes. Yeah, it's okay. Just like, okay, your taxes are going towards abortion.
Well, what makes you say it's all about the money, brother?
We can't. What's that?
Well, what makes you think Christianity is all about money?
You know, that's.
I mean, I pastor a church. I pastor a church here, 15, 20 people, and I don't even ask for tithes. I don't ask for a donation.
What we're trying to do is discuss what's coming upon us today in this new world order, and we're coming into a one world system. And
well,
your whole argument to combat that is, well, there's nothing we can do about it. We're passing through. We're not of this world, okay? But so, you know, if they tell me to close my church doors, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to be told who to worship. You know, immediately you get very defensive. You know what? Me as a Christian, I'm not going to pay for children to be murdered, okay? I'm not going to pay for homosexuality. I'm not going to respect homosexuality. And you know, as a Christian, and the examples go on and on and on, what's happening today. And we as Christians should not allow this. You know, this nonsense.
I agree. I agree. Those people shouldn't be in office and those laws shouldn't be on the book. But Christ didn't tell me to go fight the government.
No, but
now,
he instructed
we're
you
blessed.
How to live.
Yeah. So if you're saying that, listen, when I buy food, they tax it. Tax goes to the state. So we should all live on a commune and grow our own food, and then we wouldn't have to pay any taxes because we'd have our own food to eat.
Of course, Peter. That's common sense. But what I'm not telling people not to pay their tax.
No, I
what
know
I'm
you're
trying
not.
To,
I know you're not. But I'm trying to take it from the logical pinpoint where we're talking about to the logical conclusion.
And the conclusion is that the fact that this new world order that's being formulated right before our very eyes, we as Christians are not doing anything because the pastors out there are saying, well, we're not of this world, cooperate with the government, just do what you're told, and just go home. No, we as Christians are not.
I don't believe that. I go to my town hall meetings. I speak out against evil. And as much as I can, but I what you're saying is that, you know, what's your answer, Joe? Because you and I can't stop the New World Order from coming in no matter what. That's prophecy. That's revelation. You couldn't stop John the Baptist from coming. He was predicted in Isaiah 40. So, and that was 750 years before John the Baptist came.
Well, wait a second here. You just stated that you stated also previously that if the Jews would have accepted Jesus Christ, okay, the tribulation would have began right then and there. And what I'm trying to say is we as Christians today in 2014, if we repented and had an awakening in this country, the rapture may not occur for another 30 years, maybe 50 years. We as Christians have a duty and a responsibility. To do what is right, and what we are doing today as Christians is not right, and that means also cooperating with the government. That's bogus. That's a bogus argument, and I believe that there's a higher up working happening here where pastors are being instructed to teach people about this Romans 13 nonsense where we just
I believe if you go back and you look at the Plymouth brethren from the 1300s 1400s Jan Darby and those guys, and you go back and you start looking at all that stuff and some of the preachers, Lester Roloff, even in the look back to Jonathan Edwards and all those guys, and they all believe the same thing, brother. So the historically and doctrinally, they all believe the same thing. So this is not something new. The new twist is to tell you something different, see? Because there are some people that are so caught up in they're going to end the new world. Listen, you're right. If my people pray, God will heal this country. Okay, but the truth is this country isn't even listed in the prophecies.
That's correct.
Yes, will God heal our country? Absolutely. If we all repented and we prayed, it certainly would. But you know what?
It's still,
no matter what happens, we're still going down the same path, brother.
Of course it will happen. Of course, because man never learns from history. The only lesson man learns from history is that you know, is that history is destined to repeat itself. But we're not talking about stopping prophecy. The next generation can deal with it. Maybe there'll be preachers out there or people such as myself and you out there trying to wake people up, and we will continue on. But this whole argument that what I'm trying to make is, again, is this point where we should just lay down and say it's of the Lord and just cooperate with the system is nonsense. We as Christians should stand up and not tolerate what is happening today.
Well,
how we go about it,
difference.
I don't know.
I think there's a difference. I think there's a time for civil disobedience. And I think that that time comes when you know, you look at Daniel. You know, Daniel was told he couldn't pray. He went and prayed. That was civil disobedience.
Okay. But, okay,
he
now.
He didn't
get
an army together.
Point,
well, brother, he didn't get an army together. He didn't go over and try and overthrow King Nebuchadnezzar. He relied on his God.
But to get
God
to
delivered.
That point, though, but if we're blinded by lies, okay, then we can't even begin to get to that point. What I'm trying to say is
I don't think there's anybody in this country right now. You know, they were just talking about the most latest political poll that was taken. 54% of Americans, not Democrat, not Republican, not Tea Party, just across the line, 54% of Americans took a poll and said that as far as they were concerned, the President of the United States could not lead our country.
Okay. But he's
so,
not our president, okay?
So
how
so
do we? He's the president of a corporation. You can't fix.
Well,
you cannot fix a lie, okay? And that's just what I'm trying to get to. This is a big subject, and to educate each individual out there who's listening to understand what I'm saying is almost impossible to do that in 1 hour. What I'm trying to so just briefly, what I'm trying to say is that to fix anything, we have to first turn away from the lies, okay? You're talking about paying taxes. You're talking about doing this. You cannot, like I said, I don't know where to begin because the subject is so in-depth. You and I have had this conversation several times about the United States being a corporation and, you know, us not being sovereign, you know, but we can't get into that.
No, but I get that, and we could get into it, but we couldn't spend days in it. That's the problem. You know, we have a limited program. And so, and I get that. And then you have to go back and say, well, who's going to turn back the hands of time, if it isn't God? So, you know what I mean? And so, like you say, where do you start? Well, you start at the throne of God. You start on your knees, and you ask God for wisdom. And you go about and you do what you're supposed to do. Listen, most people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. How do I know? Well, hey, listen, I got a church
with
20.
Thank you.
You got a church with 25 people in it. And if everybody's out winning one soul a week, you'd have 50 people the next week. And if everybody went on one soul, you'd have 100 the next week. So
it's not about
numbers.
It's not about how many people we have in our church. What I'm trying to say is that we have to have healthy Christians out there. They have to know the truth. They have to know what's going on. That's the only way. That's where you have to begin. I'm not talking about going back to 200 years ago. I'm not talking about picking up a musket and starting a revolution, you know, and civil disobedience. I'm talking about we as individual Christians to become healthy Christians and put the whole armor of God on and to understand the truth. Many people out there don't even understand really what's happening, so you can't fix the problem. Okay, that's why you see things going the way they're going. You know, like we had this conversation a few weeks ago.
But that's the way government intended it, brother.
Well, that's the way Satan intended
right.
it. Not the
right.
way the government
yeah.
intended it.
Yeah. Well, that's the way, well, you know, world system. We're coming into that one world order. The idea is to cause as much chaos and disorder in the world as possible so that we end up with a one world leader.
You know, so resisting the new world order, I believe, is godly. You know,
well,
so I disagree with you.
It depends how you resist it.
Well, resist by any means necessary. I mean,
you know,
whatever. Each individual
the people
is
who, the people who fought to establish this country were running from a religious establishment, and they were under the oppression of a religious establishment.
Okay.
And so to get away from that establishment, you know, this is the founding of this nation upon Christianity, true biblical Christianity, which then, and then they got here, hey, listen, and then they got here, and what happened? they went back under a state church. The colonies in
Massachusetts. Like I said, I'm not trying to turn back the hands of time, but we have a good foundation here to start with here in America. And we have, and our churches are a big part of that. Our churches are lost, and like I said, they're too busy putting on a show for everybody. Everyone's walking around in these three-piece suits, you know, they're walking around like a salesman. You know, what we have to do is, what's that?
I don't agree that everybody is. I think there's a moral, I think one of the problems that we have, first of all, is that there is so many perversions, and that's, again, you go back to your perversions of these Bibles, and where does the corruption originate in the United States? When did it start becoming prevalent? It started becoming prevalent with these new watered-down Bibles and the corrupted manuscripts, and so what happens is that stuff gets in to the church, and the church loses its power and its authority, you see, and it produces weak and sickly Christians. Because
the
you don't have the authority.
Let me interrupt you for a second, Peter. The churches in this country have a lot of power. The problem is the people running the churches are too busy worried about that bank account first, okay? And instead of sacrificing and really preaching what the Bible, the Word of God, okay? And until we sacrifice and really look in the mirror at ourselves as individual Christians, we'll never, like you said, then prophecy is going to come true, and we're going to end up in a bad situation. As far as being teleported out of here, raptured out of here before the tribulation, that could be another show, but I believe, you know what I believe, we're going to be here for the first part of the tribulation, You know, I believe the Antichrist will overcome the saints, like the Book of Revelation says, and just for a little while.
I have to disagree, and I think the Bible contradicts that. And the problem is people don't even know who the saints are in the Book of Revelation. And there's a lot of bad stuff out there, and this is the stuff that's causing the confusion within Christianity, because somebody can make it sound good, but they can't doctrinally and scripturally and prophetically back it up. You see, and
well, sure
so that
they can't
because I've talked to them. I've talked to what you're talking about is called Reformed theology.
I'm not talking about Reformed theology.
Reformed theology believes that Christians will go through the portions of the tribulation or all of the tribulation. That's what's taught in Reformed
theology. It's logical. You have to look.
It's not logical. No, that's
what's
man's
logical
logic.
Is that people are out there,
logic.
Give me all your money, give me everything you have, because don't worry, we're going to be raptured out of here any minute. You know,
I've never preached that, and I've never heard any preacher that I've been to ever tell me, give me all your money because we're going to be raptured out of here. I've never heard that anywhere in any church, not even by
well,
the word.
No,
even
you
Rick
preached
Warren
something
would say
similar
that.
Earlier. You preached
not
something
even
similar
Warren
earlier.
Say. How do you think?
You preached. Because you stated, we're just passing through. We don't worry about this stuff. We're just passing. You know, like you said, we're not of this world. We're just a visitor. You know,
well, that's true.
And that's nonsense.
True.
We're living here.
Yes, we're here. We're living here. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. I'm not a child
of
this world.
That out of
I'm a child of God.
No,
I'm taking it in the right context. You're pulling it out of context. See,
well, you're not living
it's
like
no
a
different.
Child of God.
Who's not?
The Christians
why are we not living like
not.
Children? Why are they, well, listen, don't I can't categorize all, because I know many holy Christians are living to the best of their ability to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart.
Of course, there are some out there. Yes, I agree with you. There are a lot of good people out there. You see, you take what I'm saying and you take it to the extreme. You think I'm talking about every single Christian.
You have to say that, brother. You have to say the majority out there or a minority or a certain portion of Christianity out there is full of baloney. You're right.
Well, I believe
you're
the
right.
Majority of it is.
And I personally, and I believe it only, for the most part, you're right. And I don't disagree with that. I listen to what's being preached out there. I know what my Bible says. And I know the doctrines, and I know the scriptures. And I am not the all-in-all authority. The Bible is. And so there are men who have perverted Christianity. There are men who are continually perverting Christianity. And it all goes back to the responsibility of those who are teaching them. You can't take young men out of our churches and bring them to a theological center or to a school where they're going to use the corrupt manuscripts, the Sinaiticus Vaticanus, the LXX, and tell them that those are the right manuscripts. Because that's
right.
What they're
and
doing. Okay.
That's right. And you can't bring them to a school that has condom dispensers either. You know, so either we're going to live like Christians and mirror Christ to the best of our capability, or all we're doing is giving lip service. And that's what the problem is today in America, and that's why we're falling into so much decadence.
And I agree. And I agree, brother. I agree with you 100%. I give you the argument. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying at all. There are very.
But how can you agree
when you're
telling? It goes
back about 15 minutes ago. I told you that people in America have become so selfish and so self-materialized, over materialistic, and so self-centered that they wouldn't go out. They'll help you if you need help, but if you ask them, they wouldn't go out of their way to help you. Finding somebody who
but
would go out of their way to help you is not the norm in society
today. You agree
today.
With me in one breath, and then the second breath you're disagreeing with me and going against everything that I'm trying to teach here. You're telling
no,
me because you're... Cause
No, I'm saying to you this. I'm saying I agree with that point that Christianity as a whole is in trouble.
And why is
but
it
that's
in trouble?
Because it's going to get worse. Because the Bibles have been corrupted. The footprint of Satan was set and from the beginning. The whole thing must go down. And as the Word of God gets watered down, the churches lose their power. As the corruption of manuscripts come in, the churches lose their power. And as the church loses its power, the nation gets worse. You see what's going on in the Middle East?
Yeah.
Okay? You see what's going on in Africa and those nations that don't have Jesus Christ as their Lord? That don't primarily worship and love Jesus? In nations where they don't have any love for Christ, they don't have love for one another, a life is worth nothing to them. And
okay.
A religion that teaches you when you die you get 70 virgins in heaven for
and
killing
reason,
for your God.
I understand what you're saying, and we're becoming that way in America because we're not living as Christians, because people are saying, God, just make sure you pay your taxes, make sure you cooperate with the government, make sure you stop at all stop signs, and make sure you don't go against the system at all, because we're a country of laws and we have to obey every single law. Even though,
I don't have to go. Listen, I have a choice. I don't have to, freedom in the United States of America, I have a choice as far as the laws of this country go. I can break any law I want. That's my freedom of choice, as long as I'm willing to suffer the consequence for it. Okay?
How
so,
can you break a law, though? But you're going to have to break the law to live as a Christian, basically. That's a good way to put it. You're going
to
have
well, you're
to,
saying
because
I
you're
have
not,
to break...
You can't live according to this Bible right here. You can't. You cannot.
Well, I can live according to the Bible. I'm going to pay my taxes. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to let the government worry about that. They're the ministers of God. I'm going to live as holy as I can and as close as I can to a walk with the Lord as I possibly can in this Bible in good conscience. What my government's doing with that money, hey, I don't have the power or the authority as an individual to stop them. I have the power to get on my knees and come before the throne of God and ask God to do something with the country.
I know you don't like it when I say this, but God is not going to listen when you're participating and you're feeding it. You're feeding the cancer. You know, you're contributing
well, God
to the cancer.
Well, God certainly blessed a whole lot of Christians. God blessed a whole lot of Christians when the Roman Empire was running over everything. When he told them to, you know, he didn't go tell them to worry about all that stuff. He told them to go do Christ's work. Paul didn't run around being a politician. He didn't run around advocating and overthrowing the government. No, it's not a different time, Joe. Joe, the same stuff that was going on. The same thing that was going on. Yes, they had users of money there, too. The same thing that was going on there is going on everywhere.
All right.
Paul
didn't pick up his cell phone. We live in a different time. You know, you're giving examples that really, you could live like Christ.
Listen, one time I had a dream. I couldn't understand a scripture that said there's nothing new under the sun. And one time I had a dream, and in the dream there was a cloud, but it was shaped like an arrow, and it was flying through the sky. And the Lord said, well, what is that? And I said, an arrow. Well, where is it going? Well, it was an arrow of warfare. It was going to a target. When you shoot a missile, where does it go? To a target. Get it? There's nothing new under the sun, Joe. It's just done in a different manner, different fashion. Prostitutes are around. Prostitution is the oldest profession in the Bible as far as corrupt professions. So,
there's nothing new.
It's just a different style. It's just a different twist on it. Satan's modernized it to go with the times of modern civilization. Okay.
That's correct.
So when I tell you that you're to obey the government, listen, you go run through that stop sign, pay the consequences, and you don't have to stop for the stop sign. Why do you stop for the stop sign?
You have to use common sense. You have to use common sense.
Correct.
If I come up to a stop sign, a four-way stop sign, you know what? And I don't see anyone coming, and I go through it, what's the big deal? You know, if I run through the stop sign and kill somebody, you're right. I have to pay the consequences.
Well, the big deal is this. The Lord said to obey for conscience' sake, so it should bother your conscience. That, hey, you know, I ran that stop sign. I should have obeyed.
That's right, and it bothers my conscience as a Christian greatly to see all these big banks doing what they're doing, to see what's going on with what these corporations are doing to America, and it bothers my conscience to see what these criminal politicians are doing. Okay?
It bothers mine too, brother.
What's that?
It bothers mine too. I don't like it. I'm powerless to do anything but to pray about it. And I, you know, go on to my civic duty. I go out and do my civic duty and vote. I don't support abortion. I don't support legalizing drugs. I don't support alcohol. I don't support all that stuff. But I'm a sinner, just like you, just like every man, saved by grace. Okay?
But you're not powerless. And that's good what you just said. I'm glad you brought that up. And that's the problem. Pastors are going around and they're teaching the members of their church that we're powerless.
I'm not going to teach my pastors, the people in my church, to go out and get an AK-47. Let's go solve the problem.
Taking it to the extreme again.
Well, of course I am, because that's where it logically concludes.
Well, eventually, yes, you're right. But again, let me go back to what I previously said. We have to educate and help grow as Christians and know the truth before we can fix the problem. If we're living a big fat lie, you cannot live according to this Bible. You cannot walk as a Christian and call yourself a Christian if you're contributing to an antichrist system. And you're living as a mirror of Satan instead of Christ.
Well, then how do you reconcile that with what Jesus Christ told them? That was an antichrist system.
Okay.
See, that's my problem. How do I reconcile it with what Jesus said?
Well, give me an example.
Well, I mean, Rome's in control at the time of Christ. Rome is the government power and authority. Rome's corrupt. I mean,
okay, we don't live in Rome. We live in America.
You do live in Rome. Julius Caesar was called every woman's man and every man's woman. That's how corrupt he was as a ruler and a governor.
Okay.
And so corrupt politicians are nothing new.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that. Nothing's new. I understand that. There's a lot of things that are not new. I understand
what
you're
saying. There was abortion.
There
were drugs. There was alcohol. There was tyranny. There was money fraud. There were overtax collecting. There was oppression of the people. There was slavery. There was robbery. There was major crimes. There was sin of every nature. Everything that you have there is here.
I understand that, but you're not. So as Christians, we have to go back to what you originally stated in the opening. We can't do anything about it. Just get on our knees, and we're powerless. But I'm living according to the Bible. I'm a Christian.
I'm submitting to the authority of the government. That's what I'm doing. I'm submitting to the authority of the government.
So you're going to submit to the Antichrist. You're going to submit to Satan.
I'm going to submit. I'm not. If I was here in the tribulation, I would not take the mark of the beast. I'm instructed not to by my Lord.
Well. You can't have you can't have you know you can't
and
have
that, and that will not And second of all, that's not going to be a human government anyway in the tribulation. It's going to be a spiritual government. It's going to be Satan's government.
Well, but see, okay. This is the problem a lot of people are having, and it confuses.
Yeah, but see, here's what you're doing. You're hedging. You're hedging in this conversation. And you're hedging to this. Here's your answer, is we got to do something. Well, what's your answer?
What is my answer? Well, again, yeah. What I previously stated, we have to educate ourselves and wake up as Christians and put the whole armor of God on and stop walking around like a bunch full of it, because that's
okay,
what Christians
what?
Are doing today.
All right, and then what?
I don't have all the answers, Peter, but it's a good start, what I just
all
said.
I agree.
And then what?
I agree. Live to the best of your ability as a child of God. Living good
that's
conscience.
That's correct.
And do that. But if you think everybody
not.
In America is going to close their bank accounts and say, well, we had enough, forget about it. They'd all
why
die.
Not? Why
they
not?
Starve to death.
Oh, come on. You know, we have to, here we go back to the money. We're not talking about just money here. You know, what I'm trying to say is that we're participating in an antichrist system. Money, it is all about the money in the end, yes. And our churches, that's what our churches have become, corporations. And we're being assimilated into this antichrist system. And you first you start when you become a 501c3 church, you know, and that's a whole other subject right there, why you should not be a 501c3 church. So, you know, we have to learn the truth. We have
well,
to
you
understand
cannot
the truth.
Be a 501c, you can be an association, or you can be a private entity. If you're a private entity and you're a church, then you have to suffer the liabilities of that as an individual.
Well,
because
well,
not everybody's
going to
live
according. They didn't have that back in Paul. Paul wasn't going around saying, let me go to the town hall and file for a 501c3. You know, I mean, come on. You know, because you use that example. The reason why I'm being sarcastic right now is because that's what you stated earlier. You said, they weren't instructed to go overthrow Rome. You know, they weren't concerned with the government. Well, I didn't see Paul going down to the town hall filing licenses, you know, and doing what we're doing today as Christians. So we live in two different times, you're right. But what I'm trying to do is wake individuals up and Christians and to learn the truth to what's really going on. And we need to start standing up as Christians and walking the walk and talking the talk instead of putting on a show for everybody.
Amen, brother. Good advice.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We agree on something.
Amen. We agree on a lot of things, brother. We agree on a lot of
yes.
things. All right, look.
Just going about it different ways, that's all.
I'm running out of time.
Okay.
And I got to wrap up. But I want to thank you for the time. I want to thank you for your wisdom, the things you said. I think they're important, and I think it's a good thing to hear, and I think everybody needs to consider that. Amen?
Okay.
And may it improve people's lives, and people, after listening to this program, become a little more God-conscious to see what's really going on around them. You know, I was driving with a Navy SEAL up in an area of San Diego one day, and he said to me, I'm just driving. The two of us were working up there together, and he said, Peter, pull the truck over. And it was a little pickup truck, some tools in the back, and I pulled over, and I said, what's the matter? And he said, just look. And I said, what? He said, look at the people. He said, don't you see them? They're like robots. They're all in their own little world. They're all, like, distracted.
They've been vaccinated.
You know?
They've been sprayed. They're eating chemicals, you know, but yet we're walking around with a Bible in our hand. You know, I mean.
Well,
you know, we have to learn the truth. We have, if we want to be Christians and open this King James Bible up and learn the truth, then we have to stop putting on the show for everybody. We have to understand what's really, really going on. And I believe there can be an awakening in this country, and the foundations of this country is the Christian, and these churches need to stop doing what they're doing and start really teaching their members, you know, instead of worrying about the, you know, how many people we have at church this Sunday or Wednesday night or whenever, and stop worrying about how we look and putting on a show for everyone.
Well, I think we should have standards, brother. We should have Christian standards. And I think that, you know, we are a peculiar people, and we are the children of God, and we should represent the children of God.
That's correct.
And we should, you know, be holy for I'm holy. I think our women should dress modestly. I think our men should dress modestly. I don't think we should have women in church running around with their breasts hanging out and get their pants in their crotches, and I don't think men should be wearing that stuff, and I don't think that's glorifying to God, and I don't think that's holy, and I don't think that follows the commandment, be holy for I'm holy. And I understand there are some people that can't really afford decent clothes, and, you know, I think it's up to the brethren in the church to help those brethren. You know, and I think everybody can afford it. And I think everybody can go to a thrift shop and
buy these churches that are operating on a $1 million budget every week, you know, I think they can help out their days. You know, it's just not up to the church members. It's up to these pastors who are running around, you know, like I said, you know, driving around $60,000
pickup truck. You can't, the pastor makes a living just like any other person. He has a great responsibility. Being a pastor of a church, if you're doing what's right, it's a great responsibility. And it's a hard responsibility. You know, 1 Corinthians 9 lays that thing out. If you go over there and look at it, Paul said that, I'm entitled to have, live off of the things of the ministry, but I haven't because I don't want anybody to say that I'm living off of the ministry just to preach the gospel. You know, in other words, sometimes when you're out handing out tracts and somebody says, here, I'd like to give you $10, and you say, no, thank you. Well, why? It's not that I can't use the $10. It's that because my reputation will be, hey, that guy's just handing out tracts so he can get money. See? Send it to my church. Support the church if you'd like, but don't give it to me. I'm not out here preaching for that. You see? And that's what they had accused Paul of. And so when you get over into 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you know, you find out that those who lived at the temple and worked at the temple were, entitled to the things of the temple. In fact, verse 13 says, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. And so, you know, even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Amen? And so there has to be some support. Now, I'm not saying I don't think that, this is the pull a leg club and all that stuff where we're seeking billions. I think, I'm in Imperial Beach. I would love to see a church here. I'm surrounded by corrupt churches all around me. There isn't a sound doctrine church in all of Imperial Beach, not a sound doctrine church, but this one that the Lord's planted here. And there isn't anywhere in southern
with the government.
and there isn't. Well, they're using corrupt Bibles, and they've watered down. They wouldn't know the truth if they fell over it. That's the problem. You know, the Methodist church up the street has a gay preacher. So you know, there's a lot of things going on that, according to the King James Version Bible, is not correct. And so there's a lot of bad and a lot of corruption out there. And a lot of people saying they're Christians, you know, we're not. You know, Mormons call themselves Christians, but according to, the Bible, they're not Christians. Jehovah's Witness is not a Christian. So, you know, it's just a repackaged program that went by years ago, you know.
Okay.
And so they repackage it and give it a new name. And so that's what we have. But I think that supporting a pastor and having a pastor who's, you know, working, a lot of pastors work. I know a lot of pastors that have jobs in construction and other things. They have small congregations that really can't afford to pay the pastor or to help them. They help them a little bit. Pastor Rocky Shanks out there in Delaware, he has a box for tithes and a box for him and his wife. You know, support the pastor. He doesn't draw a paycheck from anybody. But if the church puts money there, it's because God put it on their heart. And so, amen.
Okay.
You know?
Well, Peter, it's getting late here where I'm at, and I really appreciate you having me on.
I enjoy it. We'll do it again, brother.
A couple subjects that I did not really want to, that I did not have time to get in to with you, and that would really... Really, I
all
think,
right. Well, you're back on the program, brother, by demand. The producer of this program, Enterprisement Media, Brother Brown, Brother Hill, Nathan on the spot there. These people have asked. You know, they're glad to have you on. They think it's important. They think what's going on in the world is important. They think Christianity needs to shake up. And so we appreciate you taking the time to come on, and I know we'll have you back. We'll have you back again.
All right. Well, very. I thank you, and I thank Nathan, and I thank the show. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, brother. The Lord bless you. You have a good night, and I'll pray us out. I want to thank the people who pray for us, the people of the local church here, Fred and Kitty Doherty, Nicole and Ray, and these are people who need to be prayed for also, Kelly and Sister Joan and Angelique, and we have young children here, Scott, we have young children, Aiden and Savannah and JP, these are young children growing up here. We had guests who have been children here. The Lord's blessed us with some other children this week. And Brother John Campos, if you could keep him in prayer, the listeners, because he's trying to help a woman whose husband left her, and she has 9 children and 1 on the way, and she can't even find an apartment. It's a terrible thing, and you know, people in the church aren't willing to step out too far, and our church isn't big enough to really help a lot of people. We do what we can. And my wife, of course, Marilyn, I'd like to thank Marilyn for supporting me and praying for me and, you know, keeping me on point. Hey, man, I tell you what, it's hard to be in a ministry, and thank God that my wife has a heart for the ministry, and the Lord's given me a wife with a heart for the ministry, because it'd be impossible almost in this day and age to be full-time in the ministry and not have the support of your family, your wife. And you need to help me. So where I lack, she fills in. And Brother Joseph, we want to keep Brother Joseph, who is just on, his wife has pneumonia, and a touch of pneumonia. We want to keep her in her prayers, and that God would heal her. The people of Massachusetts, and there's a fellow named Steve from down there in the Carolinas. His wife is having a bout with cancer, and if you would consider praying for her, I appreciate it. And you can reach me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. ventura.peter77@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I want to thank you for your patience tonight. We've run a little long. Thank you, Brother Nathan. Holy Father, we just praise you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your mercy, your kindness, your goodness, for your wisdom, Lord, for your understanding. And we ask that you would enlighten us, Lord, and to bring forth the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to live as Christians in this society, Father God, that you'd bless our land and those in authority over us, Lord, and that you would take control of the reins of their hearts, for you are in control of man's heart and man's reign, Lord. And I know you, the people get treated according to their leaders. We saw it in Israel. When Israel was corrupt, the people suffered. And Lord, we ask you to bless our leaders and guide them, and those who don't know Jesus Christ, that you would bring them to know Jesus Christ, Lord. And I thank you, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, sweet Spirit, fall on me. If you let the anointing saturate you tonight from your head down to your feet, to the point that the devil can't touch you. I'm going to sing this song first, and I want you to join in with me tonight. And let this be your prayer. Oh, let your anointing, you that are home, let your anointing saturate you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like a cool dude that drop on everybody. If you really want it tonight.